All right, let's pray.
Father, we do thank you for your kindness to us and your many blessings. We appreciate your goodness, Lord, and we come before you with thanksgiving tonight. We could all gather together, and we thank you for the new song, Lord, that you gave our brother Tony, Lord, and the joy we had in singing it, Lord. Pray you bless our brother and bless the song, Lord, and just thank you, Lord. Bless us with being in our midst tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to remember the facility here, that you would keep your hand upon it while we're not here, that there would not be any vandalism, Lord. To keep the property, Lord, from those who might seek to do evil or harm, Lord. Just keep your hand on us, we pray, Lord. Keep us from the evil one and his evil intentions. And for our those who are older that are among us, Lord, we pray you would remember them tonight, bless them, strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them as they seek to serve you, Lord, in the latter days of their life, Lord. Each period, each portion of life has its challenges, Lord, and they face many challenges, Lord, not being able to do things they once did, living with many pains, functions that don't function well or not at all, Lord. Just give them grace in their time of need and give them an abundance of your presence and grace, Lord, that they would not just get through, but that they would continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might be able to hold forth in prayer and in seeking your wonderful face and praying on behalf of us, Lord. So we just bless them. Pray you keep each one, Lord. Give them special grace tonight. Now, Lord, we do pray for our time together, for what you would have to say to us, for everyone who is gathered. It is by your Spirit, Lord, that all these things are done. So we pray that your Spirit would administrate what you want accomplished tonight, both in the speaking and the hearing, the perceiving, and what is done with the word within us, Lord. Cause it to grow and bring forth the fruit of your kingdom, the fruit of godliness, the fruit of your character, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. By way of tonight we're continuing on Christian disciplines, and this will be prayer. Okay? For the title, Christian Disciplines, Prayer. And for, by the way of review, and for the sake of those who weren't here last week, we gave an analogy. Does anybody remember where the analogy came from the scripture? Was anybody here last week? Boys, do you remember? Who did we talk about? Thank you. We talked about Jacob. And what did Jacob do? He served 7 years. Why did he serve 7 years? What did he want?
He wanted Rachel.
He wanted Rachel. Come on, guys. He wanted Rachel. And what does Rachel stand for?
Desire.
For desire. He desired her. The scripture says she was beautiful, face and form. There were many women mentioned in the scripture that are beautiful. Only one that was mentioned, she was beautiful in face and form. What the distinction is, I don't know. But she must have been something to see. Okay? She was desirable, and Jacob loved her, and he was willing to work 7 years just to marry her. Hard work. Farming's hard work. And he worked out there with the sheep and the goats in the hot and the cold. And the dryness of the desert out there, because he had a great desire. And what happened to him? What happened to him on his wedding day? He got deceived. Who did he end up getting married to?
Cross-eyed Leah.
Cross-eyed Leah. Scripture says she has weak eyes. We don't know what weak eyes means, but it could have been she was cross-eyed. Huh? It's a weak eye, right? And what does old cross-eyed Leah stand for? What are we studying?
What,
Hard to get it out, huh? It's nasty, that word, huh?
Discipline.
Ooh. Look, see, my thing doesn't even want to ride it. Discipline. Oh, man. And we see a man of God, or we see miracles, or whatever it is that attracts us to the Lord and attracts us to God's plan of salvation, God's whatever it is. And we see something, we go, wow, man, I like that. I want to go for that. And one day we wake up and we realize, I married Leah. It's tough times. Drudgery. Day in and day out, going nowhere, doing nothing. Blah, blah, blah. And who's there with us? Oh, cross-eyed Leah. Because the only thing that's going to keep us going is discipline. And we don't like it. Did Jacob love Leah?
No.
No, he loved Rachel. She was gorgeous. Leah was... She couldn't have been that bad. He didn't know the difference until he woke up. Okay? But it wasn't what he was after. But there's a significance to this, okay? There's significance to discipline and desire. And they both bear fruit. What kind of fruit does discipline bear? Do you remember Leah? Whose children did Leah? What children did she have? Reuben. Simeon.
Judah.
No. Not yet. That's the very one I want to point out. She had Reuben, he flunked. Simeon, he flunked. Then she had another one. Levi. Who's Levi?
Priest.
The priesthood. From discipline comes what?
Priesthood.
A priesthood. It didn't come from desire. You'd think so. But that's not where we learn how to be a priest. We don't learn how to be a priest and a help to other people through the good things that get us the wonderful hilltops and heights that we have in God. We learn how to be a priest when we go through the grunt and the lowly and the crummy. And we go through it in discipline. And we know how to relate. And we're not so high and mighty. Because the next son is Judah. But you get the priesthood first before you get the ruler. If you can't relate to those for whom you will rule, you're going to whack them with that rod of iron. It's not going to work. People don't want to be ruled by hotshot. They don't want to be ruled by anger or authoritarianism. They want to be ruled by love. Okay? So from discipline comes the priesthood. And the ruler. Okay? You learn these things in discipline. You learn how to rule through discipline. Desire, what did desire bring?
Fruitfulness.
Fruitfulness. Because God wants to give us the desires of our heart. Remember Pastor said that Sunday? He said, it doesn't say He wants to give us the desires of our heart, does it? What does He say? What does the Scripture say?
He gives.
So what's the issue here? Watch what your desire is, because you're going to get it. Believe me. People who want to be successful will be successful. That's what they really want. That's what they'll get. And people who really want to save their life will save it. And what did Jesus say about that? He who saves your life will lose it. It's as sure as that. And people who are willing to lose their lives will save it. But I'm here to tell you, if you're willing, you're going to learn to be willing to lose your life. You're going to have to marry this girl first. Miss Discipline. Okay? Miss Desire is not going to help you much on your willingness to lose your life. Okay? So watch the desires of your heart. But it does eventually bring forth fruitfulness, because God doesn't want a bunch of drudgery. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, whatever God says, I'm going to do it. I'll be here. If I got to pray, I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Which way am I supposed to do it? I'll do it that way. Okay, whatever God wants. That's not going to bring fruitfulness. Now, we have to go through it sometimes like that, Tony, to learn to be faithful. There's many times I've prayed with a mouthful of sand. Did I really have sand in my mouth? No, but it seemed like it when I was praying. It just seemed like flat, 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 flat. So all the words sounded like flat, 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 flat. Have you ever ran on the beach? You ever gone to the beach and run? You ever run on the soft sand? It's hard to run in the soft sand, isn't it? Sometimes when you pray, it's like running in soft sand. It just seems like hard work. That's where you learn faithfulness. Okay, so fruitfulness. And I made reference to something that nobody remembers. Probably. Maybe somebody does. I don't know. I have some amazing students in here. But I made reference to some sticks. Does anybody remember the sticks? Close. I looked it up in the meantime. I thought I knew where it was, and I was close. I got the book. It's in Ezekiel. Don't you love Ezekiel? Son of man. Everything about Ezekiel is interesting to me. The way God talks to him. The way he talks to God. Ezekiel 37, starting with verse 15. Okay. And the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, "And you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and the sons of Israel. Decide. Discipline. Okay. And his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel and his companions. That's decide. Fruitfulness. This is another allegory. It has many, more than one meaning. Then join them for yourself, one to another, into one stick, that they may become one in your hand." So he took the two sticks, he wrote the names on these two sticks, Judah and Ephraim, Joseph, and then he bound them together with some kind of cording, probably, and made them into one fat stick in his hand. "And when the sons of your people speak to you, saying, 'Will you not declare to us what you mean by these?' Say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it,'" put them with it, yes, "'with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be one in your hand before their eyes. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations,'" you see that word, nations, "'where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land and on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be their king for all of them, and they will no longer be two nations, they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms.'" So the analogy has two interpretations. The one, that more obvious one, is that God will eventually bring back Israel to their land, okay? And that's happening in our day. We see people coming, and we don't seem to make the distinction, but if you go to Israel, they make the distinction, okay? Because you say, "Oh, are you Jewish?" And many of them will say, "No, I'm Israeli." Okay? Because for them, they track back to another tribe other than Judah. But they've come back together to become one nation. Okay? But whether or not all those lost tribes are known and everything is one thing. It's another allegory, and that is that it's representing the fact that in Jesus Christ, we have become one new man. He's broken down the barrier between the Jew and the Gentile, or the nations. And so Ephraim represents the nations. You and I have come from the nations, and he's joining us with our brethren, the Jewish people, and making us one Israel in God's hand. Okay? So that's part of the fruitfulness. Okay? It takes both of these things to bring these things together. Ephraim represents fruitfulness. Okay? And then we will have one king over us, the Lord. Okay? Okay. That was Ezekiel 30. All right. Tonight I want to talk about prayer. And I want to talk about some of the words that are used for prayer. I want to talk about some of the elements that we have that should be part of prayer. Lost my notes. Here they are. And then I want to give us some practical aspects about prayer that I have found helpful. Okay? So let me outline that for you real quickly. For those of you who, like myself, when you write something down, you remember it better. Because some of us learn by hearing, and some of us learn by seeing, and some of us learn by writing, and most of us learn by all three in combination. Okay, so these are my three things? Some definitions. Which one of these? I think it was the green one. Works better, right? Definitions. Okay, I think that's how you spell definitions. And then I'm calling this elements of prayer. And then lastly, I'm going to give some practical aspects of prayer. Okay. So we're talking tonight about prayer. Okay? And if you want to study prayer, my recommendation is that you look at some of the prayers in Scripture. Okay? Just that if you want to study prayer, look at some of the prayers in Scripture and see how they prayed. And some of the outstanding prayers that I wrote down, I have Exodus 10, 24 through Exodus 11, verse 8. And that's Moses interceding on behalf of the children of Israel. Exodus 10, 24 through 11, 8. Then Daniel interceding on behalf of Israel after the deportation and him discerning about the 70 years. That's Daniel 9, 1 through 19. Then the Lord's Prayer. No, not Matthew's. The Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17, where the Lord prays for us. It's excellent. Whole chapter is the Lord praying. Okay? And then Matthew 6, 9 through 13, I think, is where he taught us how to pray. Okay, what I'm not going to do is break down different prayers for you, as a lot of people do that. Okay, instead I'm going to talk about these things, if that's all right with everybody. All right, the reason why we're studying these things is because discipline is important in our Christian life. Discipline is the part that gets us through. Discipline. There comes in every Christian's life times when things are difficult. Okay? And there are great inspiring times in our life, but they're usually few and far between. The rest of the time things can just be plain difficult. Okay? And when we go through these difficult times, the thing that keeps us going many times is just being disciplined. As many times you pray, not because you feel like it, but because you've learned to pray. Okay? If you've ever experienced life much, you'll know there are times when in people's lives you suffer through times of depression. How many have ever suffered through times of depression? Some people, I think, never have learned what depression, they've never gone through. I mean, they're not that kind. But many people go through at times where it's depressing. Life is difficult. Everything just seems to be negative. Nothing seems to go right. And when we go through those kind of times, you don't always want to. You don't always feel like eating. Okay, but you've learned if you're going to stay healthy, you keep eating. I've lifted weights for 43 years now. Not to be big, I'm not trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, although he and I are contemporaries. He was one of the first ones to start with those enhancing things. Stories, yeah. If you've ever exercised, there's a lot of times you don't feel like exercising. A lot of times you don't feel like exercising. I lift weights, okay? Not big weights, just to keep limber. To keep some of the arthritis that is overtaking me at bay. But that's not the only way. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of exercise you do. There are many, many, many times, in fact, a lot of times, most of the time, you just simply don't feel like it. But if you've learned the usefulness of it, what do? You do it anyway. Okay. Most of us have learned by now that you do things even when you don't feel like it because you learn to do the right things. Okay. So these are Christian disciplines that we have to learn. The eventual outcome of prayer, it should be prayer should be like breathing. It should become that natural and that constant. Okay? Prayer should be like breathing. The word should be like eating. Okay? But prayer, because you meditate on the word because you're always burning the energy that you got from food, okay? So the food is always with you if you're eating, because there's always the benefit is still with you, okay? You know what I'm saying by that? But you're not always eating, but you're always breathing. You're always breathing. And prayer should come to the place. How many of us, prayer is to the place where it's as natural and constant as breathing? None of us. I think Jeannie's got there. Jeannie's got there. We're getting there, though. We should be. And that's what we're working for. We're getting there. Yes, we really are. We're doing our very best to get there. And that's our desire. And so, but how did we start off? Little by little, that's right. You know what amazes me is kids, by the time they're 15, have absolutely no problem demonstrating their ball game skills. If they think they're a good ball player, or ping pong, or soccer, they have no problem showing that off to anybody. You ever notice that? Or if they're a whiz with some kind of a computer thing, they have no problem showing anybody. Okay? But ask them to pray. How many 15-year-olds want to pray, especially when other people will listen to them? Okay? And so we as parents, we've got to take a look at our priorities of what we're teaching our kids. Okay? You're doing good so far. All right. So there are different, and when the scripture uses the word prayer, there are different words. First of all, we know the word prayer. Okay? The word prayer is to ask God to intervene. Okay? Did you get that? Ask God to intervene. All right? Then there's the word intercede. That's asking God to intervene on behalf of someone else. Okay? So whenever we want God to intervene, let's say on our behalf, something's come up and we need God to intervene. I'll give you practical things when at work. My job as the supervisor for my department of pickup is that it's my job that when there's a question about getting paid for something, I'm supposed to go deal with that. Okay? So Naturally, I always get the hard ones. But otherwise, everybody else can take care of it, so it doesn't come to me. It's already taken care of. So the ones that I get are the hard ones. Okay, and so I'm supposed to go and argue with people about getting paid. I don't know if you've ever argued with people about getting, you've argued with people about getting paid. It's crummy business. It's just crummy business. We did the work. We ought to get paid. It ought to be cut and dry. But boy, do they come up with all the most fanciful ideas as to why you shouldn't be that way. And in many cases, they do their very best to make it look like you owe them a favor. Okay? Well, my tendency as a natural person is to not like those kind of situations. So my personality would get into the passive aggressive mode, and I would either not speak up when I'm supposed to or say something that I shouldn't. Okay, and I have a tendency to get angry and blurt out stupid things. And believe me, that doesn't negotiate too well. So I've learned to pray. And what I've learned is if I pray before these situations come up, guess what happens? It isn't as nasty as it seems like it could be. Perfect example was this last week. And we did some models and we did some work in the models. And the guy, the superintendent, after we did it, telling us, yes, we're going to take care of everything. Don't worry. Just get it taken care of and we'll take care of you. And the PO is coming. It's in the mail. All that stuff you've heard before. When his other, he says, all right, I want you to come down. We want to talk about this. Oh, boy. And I said, I am not in the mood for this. But I remember, because I've been disciplining myself to pray, rather than get all off on how I'm not in the mood for this and how he ought to and that, which only is going to cause conflict. I prayed. And when I got there, everything just went really smoothly. Okay, this, that, okay, sure. Well, all right, well, no problem. All right, yeah, you got a good point there. Bing, done. It was no problem, Tony. It works like that when you remember to pray. So that's an intervention. I needed God to intervene on my behalf because I didn't want to go up there and get chewed up and spit out. Okay? But intervention on someone else's behalf is, let's say Tony calls me up and says, Stan, I got this customer and he won't pay my bill and he wants to talk to me and he owes me a lot of money and I need him. Blah, 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 blah. And this guy's a jerk to have to deal with. And he calls himself a Christian. Pray for me. And that's interceding. Okay? It's not my behalf I'm praying for. It's Tony's. Okay? So that's an intercession. It's the same thing. We're asking God to intervene on behalf of someone else. All right. What's the difference between that and a petition or a request? It's a little different. You're asking something on the behalf of someone else. So in the one case, you're asking God to intervene. On the other, you're just asking. I may ask God to bless Tony. That's not really an intervention, is it? I'm not intervening between Tony and some other thing. I'm just asking God. I'm asking. I'm making a request. God, bless Tony. Bless the Palm family in their business. Bless them, Lord. Okay? That would be a petition or a request. I'm just asking. A supplication is to ask favor. Now, maybe asking for a blessing would be more of a supplication, asking favor. Okay? And asking for them would be maybe help them find a new house. Okay? But that's favor, too. It's hard for me to split the difference. Okay? But these are the different words that that are used in the Scripture for prayer. And there are prayers. That we know that. That's asking God to intervene. Interceding, that's intervening on someone else's behalf. Making your petitions or your requests, that's asking on behalf of someone else. And supplication is asking favor for somebody. And entreaty is asking about a want or a need. Okay? As opposed to just asking on behalf of someone else. So I see, okay, asking, oh, I got it, okay, petition or request, asking on behalf of someone else. Let's say you have loved ones that don't really pray, but you want God to bless them. So you will ask on their behalf, okay? See that? you can ask on their behalf. So that would be, and the only reason I'm telling you this is because these are ways in the scripture. I don't know that we should really need to know and split our hairs and say to ourselves, okay, is this a petition, Lord, or is this a request? I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know that that matters. It's just that these are ways that we can pray. Okay, entreaties is for a want or need, and fasting. Fasting, I find interesting, and we will take fasting up as a separate thing. There are many, especially from Africa and India, who are very strong on fasting, and we'll get into that when we get there. Denying oneself of necessities, or to do without food, and/or water, or certain kinds of food, or certain pleasures in life. Okay, let me say that again. Denying oneself necessities, that is doing without food and or water, or certain kinds of food, or certain pleasures in life. Okay, did you get all that? All right, let me say this about fasting and we'll move on. But this goes along with prayer. For myself, I have fasted a few times, okay? But many of the times that I would think about fasting, the Lord has not asked me to do that, personally. And I think, because I asked him about that, and I think it has to do with the fact that I've been in construction, which is a physically demanding job, and I have a high metabolism, okay? I don't carry much reserves, and I burn a lot. When I was young, I used to eat tons and stayed skinny. I was an amazing human being because I could eat more than almost anybody you ever met. And I was skinny, much skinnier than I am now. I had a high metabolism. So to not eat food and do heavy construction work and have a high metabolism would not be healthy for me. Okay, so God doesn't usually require that of me. And to go without water can become very dangerous. You better know you've heard from God to do either one of these extremes. Okay? But I am currently fasting. Because fasting is not just not eating food or drinking water. You can go without certain kinds of food. Remember when Daniel, he fasted, he only ate certain kinds of food. He did not eat the king's delicacies. He did not eat fine food. He didn't have the finer foods. Okay, he ate plain food. You can go on a bread and water fast. It's not unhealthy. You can have enough to keep you going, but it would accomplish. There are certain things you want to accomplish in a fast. The fast I currently am on is denying myself of certain pleasures. The purpose of that is to show humility and contriteness, to discipline your bodily urges, to help you tune out the sensory and to tune in the spiritual. That's why you see a lot of Africans and Indians from India, not these Indians, but from India. They're very, very much into fasting because their culture believes a lot of being spiritually attuned. And so fasting can make you spiritually attuned for good or for evil. It just makes you spiritually attuned because you dull out we don't know because we're used to it, but we're constantly bombarded by a lot of urges. And if you can discipline yourself to tune those out, your spiritual awareness can become more keen. And that's the purpose of fasting, is to make your spiritual awareness more keen and to show God. Remember when they used to declare a fast and wear sackcloth? That was to humble yourself, to show God that you meant business. Okay? And I used to like to do that. That's why I used to like to fast. It usually backfired on me when I did it because I was trying to prove something to myself. I was thinking I was trying to prove something to God when I didn't need to. Okay? How contrite and how sincere I was. And God knew all along how really contrite and really sincere I was. Okay, which was probably not as contrite and sincere as I thought I was. But I was trying to prove it through my fasting. Okay, and almost always it backfired on me. I needed the energy and I didn't have it. And let me make this suggestion since we're talking about it and then I'll move on. If you do fast, some people like to fast before they minister, and that's fine. But those who are smart have learned to fast and have time of preparation before they minister. But when they go into ministry, to end the fast and to go into the ministry with strength, not in weakness. I don't recommend that you go into ministry in weakness. Let's say I wanted to go to the Philippines and I wanted to fast and pray about it. I wouldn't go to the Philippines and fast and pray. I'd fast and pray here. And then in my fast and go to the Philippines. See the difference? I never recommend. When we minister, whether it's in the jail or in the Sunday school or with the youth or in any manner, even with the worship team and whatnot, when we minister, it takes energy because it's a spiritual warfare. And we have to be sharp. So it's good to be spiritually tuned, but it's not good to be weak at the time of war. They don't recommend soldiers fast. As a matter of fact, they feed them high carbs and high protein, which would make them blow up like balloons if they lived normal lives and ate that kind of food. But when you're in combat, you need it. All right? Now, these are different elements that there are in prayer. Okay? There's the element of thanksgiving. I am used to beginning my prayers with thanksgiving. Okay? It's good to remind yourself of the goodness of God. It's easy, especially if you have a sour disposition like mine, and being critical comes natural to you. Okay? Being critical comes natural to me. So finding fault and seeing the negative is easy. I don't have to work at that. It's natural. It's like falling off a log. So I could easily keep a list forever long of all the things I don't like. I don't start off with God that way. I intentionally keep a list of things that I'm happy and grateful for. And start off my prayers with that. With thanksgiving. Okay? Adoration. Adoration. Adoration is a wonderful thing. I can remember as a young man when we first came, remember in the old building, Billy? We used to do a lot of praying and pacing around on the things and making a lot of noise and going carrying on. And men's breakfasts were great fun because we get in there and we just have a great time praying. But I can remember giving all kinds of great adulation and adoration to the Lord and everything. That's good. You know, God accepts what we give Him and where we're at. But I can look back now from this point and see most of what I was saying, I didn't know what I was talking about. I really did. God accepted it where I was at, and that's good. And we like to analyze things. We say, Pastor will do that. Do you really know what you're singing up there? The scripture says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So let your words say it. Okay? Bring on the fire. You don't know what you're saying. Of course I don't know what I'm saying, but bring it on anyway. It's right. It's good. So do it. I'll learn what it means. And now that I know what it means, bring it on anyway. Okay? So give God adoration. Even if you don't recognize, how many of us really recognize how great God is? None of us. We do the best we can. Okay? I can't say that I love God because I don't know that I truly do. Well, you had no trouble telling your girl or your guy you loved them, and years later you found out you didn't know what you were talking about. Adoration. Remember, as you pray, remember especially past victories. And I spoke of that Sunday morning at Burden Bearers. I do not journal, but it's not a bad idea. And part of the purpose of that is to keep track of how God has answered prayers. It's easy. My wife is good at that. I'll go, you know, I'll get in one of my pouty moods and I'll talk about how this stupid job and it always is crummy and it's always blah, blah, blah. And Lisa will say, you forgot the last time, blah, blah, blah. And God helped you out. Yeah, bye. Well, yeah, but then that's other time, and God helped you out. And in my mind, many a times, it's been a miserable road, a hoe, and it's always been beat up, but I have not kept track of victories. Because when I analyze it, when I stop and think, I'm sorry, that's just my lousy personality. What can I say? God is changing that. Same thing with Sunday school. I thought, I'm wasting my time. I've been teaching this Sunday school for years out here to the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Your kids and many other kids. And it's going up to nowhere. Some days I got one kid. Nobody's paying attention. What's going on? You know what the Lord said to me? Look at your notes. Look at my notes. I don't keep notes. But I do write stuff down from time to time when I have an idea. So I got out. And I didn't keep track of it. They were scattered all around. So I gathered them all up and I started looking. And I went, wow. Look at this. I've been doing something. What I've been doing with these kids makes sense. I put all together my notes and I saw the foundation of what I speak on today came from notes I took and used teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th grade Sunday school. Keep track of past victories. God is faithful. We let it slide. We let it get past us. We have the tendency to overlook it. Remember. Remember. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Remember that psalm? And what was the solution? Remember! Put your hope in God. Huh? Forget none of His benefits. Remind yourself. Okay? Here's another element of prayer. When you're making requests, make them specific. Make them specific. When you talk to somebody, you talk to Eva. You don't generalize in your conversation. She'd look at you like, what are you talking about? Life in general. That's not kind of, you don't talk like, you talk about specifics. Things you expect her to be able to relate to. Okay? Talk to God like that. Talk to Him in specifics. I'll tell you the truth, there's been times when I've gone in prayer and asked, because I'm not afraid of asking questions of God. Come now, let's reason together, God said. I said, okay, you're on. All right? I ask Him a lot of questions, and I ask Him specific questions. Now I'm ADD, so God has to put up with me. I ask a bazillion questions, and most of the time I don't even wait to find out the answer before I'm asking new ones. So He's kind and patient, but every once in a while I really want an answer, and He knows the difference. And I'll ask specific questions. And I have had people get up and prophesy in this church and use the terms I used in my question. So I didn't wonder whether I heard from God, Jeannie. I knew. That was my answer. Because the very terms, specific terms, terms that I can relate to, terms in my vocabulary, terms that I am familiar with the usage. We all talk differently. We all have different ways of expressing ourselves. And when I hear it prophesied, I don't wonder who that's for. It may bless other people and be good for them, but I know I've heard from God. So be specific. Many times you don't know exactly what to do. Let me give you a little hint. What I often do. Okay, you don't know. You're praying and you don't know and you need to do something. Okay, this is what I've learned to do. There's a lot of things to learn, but one of the things that I've learned to do is to pray and say, okay, God, I believe that I should do such and such. And name it specifically. And this is what I intend to do. If this is not what you want me to do, show me. So I won't do it. Otherwise, this is what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
And then, if you have a humble heart and you have a willingness to hear, God will tell you. Believe me, He will tell you. Whether you hear it or not is another thing. But He will tell you. And He's able to show you it's the wrong way. Just have a willingness to do it because it's not going to come from the source you wanted. Okay? Your husband or your wife's going to tell you you're wrong. And they're always telling you you're wrong. But that time they told you you're wrong because you were. And you needed to hear it. And it's an answer to your prayer. Okay? So you got to be humble. Because God will answer. Be specific. Take time to listen. Take time to listen. Just take time. Waiting on God is an interesting aspect of prayer. You'll notice sometimes if you have ever knocked on the door and gone in pastor's study before he preached or anything, and what's he usually doing? He's sitting there on the couch and he's just kind of got his eyes up in space and he's got this strange look on his face. Have you ever noticed that? Like he's in another world. That's because he's in another world. He's learned to wait on God. And it's not a passive thing. It's not, I am an empty vessel. Move upon me. There are a lot of spirits that are looking for empty vessels. And they will happily move upon you. Do miracles if that's what you want. Just so that they can have their pleasure through you. But they're not Holy Spirits. Holy Spirit worked with them. Holy Spirit wants to work with us. He doesn't put us on like a glove. He doesn't do things for us and we just happen to go along for the ride. We work with God. We make the decisions. He guides our decision making, but we make the decisions. Okay? It's like a ship. It's what James likened it to. Got a rudder. Okay? God helps us steer the ship. We've got to set sail. Okay, so waiting on God is not passivity. It's an active thing to do. But you take the time to shut out the world. Stop all this. It's hard. Have you ever tried stopping for an hour to pray? I used to drive me crazy. I'd go to pray and I'd look outside and I'd think, oh, that needs to be watered. Oh, dear. No, I'm praying. Okay, I'm praying. Oh, my, I haven't put that thing away yet. No, I'm praying. Okay, yes, I'm praying. Praise the Lord. Oh, these things. Look at these things. Oh, that's AD. What are you going to do? You want to ride bikes? I mean, that's where we are. It's hard. All right. But you have to learn. It takes discipline to how to learn how to wait on God. So you just learn to shut all that stuff down. And I'm still fighting with it at 58. Still fighting with all my distractions. And you can sing and you can dance and you can play your instrument. You can bow down. Some people like to lay prone on the ground before God. I don't always recommend kneeling down to pray. If you can kneel down and pray, fine. It's a wonderful way to pray. And it presents a humble position, but it also presents some good comfort for the shoulders. And after a while, you just might... Wake up 20 minutes later. Okay? So, that takes me on. And then spiritual warfare is done. And we will get into spiritual warfare at some other times. But that's done in prayer also. I'll just say this about spiritual warfare. We've got to be a lot keener than we are about spiritual warfare. We've got to be a lot keener than what we are. Especially with the days getting darker. Things are happening all around us. For the most part, most of us are utterly ignorant to. It's going to catch us unawares. And we're going to suffer loss. Because we're not keen. In things of the Spirit, we're not grown up. We're little kids. Many of us babies where we should be grown up. Okay?
And if you just pray. Just pray. That's all I can say. When you pray, here's some practical aspects. When I pray out loud. That doesn't mean I have to pray loud. It just means I like to pray out loud. I like to pray out loud for a couple reasons. One, I like the spirit realm to know what I'm saying. Can God read your thoughts? Absolutely. Can you pray within yourself? Absolutely. Do you pray within yourself? Absolutely. But I like to pray out loud. I like to let the spirit realm know. I like to put the spirit realm on notice when I'm praying. Okay? So, and also the other part is it helps keep you awake. If you're tired. Praying out loud. Yeah, pray out loud. I also walk around when I pray. This is not necessary. There's nowhere in the scripture says that you need to walk around. There's no recorded place that I know of at all where they walked around while they prayed. I can't think of one. But it does say about Jesus, he lifted his eyes in heaven and he said, it doesn't say he lifted his eyes. It didn't say he closed his eyes and thought. It says he lifted up his eyes and said. So I got keeping your eyes open. You know, I didn't write that down, but that's an interesting thing. Have you ever had, let's come up here and pray for the young people and all the adults, we put the kids in the middle and all the adults come around the kids. Okay, have you ever done that? And all the adults, we're all up here, we got our eyes closed. Oh, we're moving in the spirit. Have you ever opened your eyes and watched what was going on while the adults are, praying with their eyes closed in the spirit? Kids are goofing off. I don't pray like that anymore. And I pray for the kids in the front. I got my eyes wide open and I'm looking right at them. Watch and pray, it says. And I watch. Okay? I watch. What you're watching for is that's one of the things you're actually watching for. We're praying. We're dealing with God. We're not goofing off. So I watch when I pray. And that's part of how you watch. You watch by your spirit. I can watch with my eyes closed too, but in that case, I always keep my eyes open. many times I pray with my eyes open. You can lift your hands. Okay, there's scriptural for that, lifting hands. Lifting holy hands in prayer, it says, I think, in Timothy. Okay, lifting up holy hands in prayer. And remember, you can lift up holy hands, Jeannie, because they're holy. Okay, we lift up holy hands. There's a lot of people that have problems. What the concept of lifting up your hands is in the old days when you came to a king or to a noble or anybody who had some kind of authority and who owned the land and you benefited from their rulership, you came with your palm up representing the fact that all that I have comes from you. Okay? And so that's similar as we lift our hands. It's a way of saying, some people say it's a way of surrender. Okay? That's good too. Okay? But just remember what surrender means. Surrender doesn't mean I have no will. Okay? Surrendering your will is an interesting concept because God is not after us to destroy our will or whatever. God wants our will sharp and he wants us active in our wills. He wants us to choose what is right. Choose good over evil. So I don't always understand what surrendering my will is. I don't even know if that's a scripture. Okay, but surrendering my life in the sense that all I have and all I am and all I owe to God, I can do that with hands lifted up. All right. Pray in the spirit and pray with the mind. And we need to learn how to do that. I've gotten to the place now where I catch myself on the job site. I don't know how many people have heard me. But I'm wandering around between jobs, between houses, between whatever. Praying in the spirit. I'm praying out loud in the spirit, Tony, on the job site. You know? And most of the guys out there speak Spanish anyway, so they may think I'm Russian for all they know. I don't know. But I'm in tongues. Down the road, driving down the road.
You ever seen the madman drive by with his mouth wagging? Praying in tongues. And with the mind. Okay? And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this is where we're headed. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 5:17. There it is. See that, guys? You want to memorize the verse tonight? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words. Pray without ceasing. By the way, there's two-word prayer verses in the Bible. That's not one of them there. But we all know Jesus wept, but there's another verse that's only got two words also. Rejoice always. There it is. Verse 16. If you want to know, there's two verses you can learn. Okay? Rejoice always. That's it. That's the verse. Rejoice always. And pray without ceasing. Now you know, two whole verses. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Easy, huh? Two verses. Got to memorize. That's where we're headed. That's what God wants. And when you learn pray without ceasing, obviously prayer has got to be something other than what we consider praying. Because I can't talk to you and do what I call praying, can I? And yet I'm supposed to be praying while I talk to you. And I am. I can't talk to the superintendent and do what I call praying at the same time. But I'm learning. I'm learning. It's easier here. But I'm having to say, okay, God, I don't want to step out of my truck and leave you in the truck when I go into that guy's office to talk to him. Because I'm not equipped for it in the first place. I'm just going to make a mess out of it. I'd like to succeed. So I'm learning to take the Lord so that I'm actually dealing with superintendents or dealing with homeowners or dealing with whatever and praying at the same time. Okay? Driving and praying and playing baseball and praying and fishing and praying. Pray without ceasing. Okay? And then 1 Timothy 2:1-3. 1 Tim 2:1-3. These are special instructions. One, we have to come to the place. What is that verse that we have to remember? Three word. What's the three word verse we remember? Pray without ceasing. Three words. And what's the verse before? Two words. Rejoice always. Okay? And now this one tells us, which one am I on? 1-3. First of all, then I urge that entreaties, see here, this is entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving. See, they don't just say prayer. Okay? Entreaties. So that would be needs and prayers and petitions. That's asking on behalf of someone else. Okay, with thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. Okay, so pray for those. Pray for all men. Pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. And pray for those in authority. And again, that's part of discipline, because what we usually pray for is what I want. What I want. And those are the special instructions that I have for you. Remember to study the scripture, the prayers that you see in the scriptures, to get a feeling for how others prayed. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you want to fellowship with us. It is your desire to speak to us. It is your desire to commune with us. And you want to be our God. You want to be our God. You want to do things for us. You want to supply our needs. You want to bring us pleasure. You want to bring us our destiny. You want to keep us and protect us.
Yes.
You want to do these things, Lord. We don't have to beg you to do them. You want to do these things. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in asking. To be faithful in coming before you. With thanksgiving. Knowing that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Teach us how to pray, Lord. Teach us how to pray. And help us, Lord, as we're trying to make this diligent part of our discipline, Lord. But it goes beyond discipline. It has to come to the place where it becomes a part of who we are and what we are and what we do. Till eventually, Lord, it's no longer discipline. It's like riding a bicycle. It's a discipline at first. We're doing our best to keep up and to keep from falling off, or driving a car and trying to remember how to push the clutch and the gas and the stick and watch the mirrors and hold the wheel all at the same time, Lord. But when we've mastered it, we're no longer going through that. It becomes a pleasure. It becomes a function. It becomes easy and smooth to us. It becomes a mode of transportation, or it becomes a means of expressing music, or a way of exercise. It becomes for us, Lord, a way of life. So guide us in this, Lord. Bring us through the difficult times where it's just discipline, to the place where it becomes fulfillment, Lord. Bring us through the dry times, Lord, where we pray and we learn to pray and continue to pray, Lord, whether it seems like our words are bouncing off the ceiling or whether or not, that we can learn what pleases God. Learn what pleases God. And come into those areas where we begin to know you and find the pleasure of knowing you, find the joy of knowing you, of pleasing your heart, of knowing the height and the depth and the length and the breadth and the surpassing greatness of your love towards us. Keep us, Lord, as we go in that venture. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.